Hello, everybody. It is good to be back. I'm going to set this right here. It's not leaky. There's not a coaster. Leah's given me the... Don't put it there. It is so good to be back in this room. I wish you were all here with us in person, but I know that you are with us in spirit. My name is Kit Holmes, and it is tremendous to be back in the room with Katie and with the crew, and I am so grateful for everything that everybody has held together while I was out of town for a couple of months, and it's just really, really just like good to be back. Aida, first of all, you did my talk, so everybody have a great day. It was perfect as usual, and it is speaking to that one mind. When we plan services, we consciously choose things so that everything goes together. The music, the prayer, the reading. Actually, the reading was not chosen. It happened to land on this Sunday as that mental equivalent, the use of the law through science of mind. And that's also incorporated in my talk today. The song Blue Moon, one of the most beautiful, simple, elegant tunes that just kind of drips goody-gooey stuff all over you, I think. And but it also has that message in it. Blue moon, you knew what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for. It is talking about the feeling tone that was in the reading and in Aida's prayer is having the feeling tone along with the thought that brings everything into manifestation through that law. In this month of October, the Blue Moon October title is also because this month, this year in October, we have a blue moon. We have two full moons in this month. The first one being the harvest moon that happened on the 1st, and somewhere in that little period, wherever you are living in the world, and on the 31st, All Saints Day, All Hallowed Eve, All Hallows Eve, Halloween, is going to be the second one of this month. The first one is the harvest moon. The second one is the hunter's moon. And we talk about the energy, the gravitational pull of the moon on the tides. We talk through our lives. I've said it a number of times. I've heard many people throughout my life say things about how crazy people get on the full moon, how the world just goes nuts when there's a full moon. And the myths and the stories and the mass consciousness, the things that we just bring into our belief system throughout our lives and through, since humankind, actually, the stories about the power of the moon to affect us. If we go all the way back to when we were hunter-gatherers and then we moved into becoming more agricultural, and we stayed a little more stationary, it was a lot easier to see the cycles, the cyclic nature of nature, the seasons, the moon, the sunrise, the sunset, where it changed in our course as the Earth on its course through its orbit, through a year, would change where the sunlight lands and all those kinds of things. And as we became more stationary, it was easier to notice that. We started worshiping because we thought that things like the sun and the moon controlled whether the crop was good or the crop was bad, or the animals lived or the animals died, and whether we were sick or whether we were healthy. So we started putting our belief system, we started with that external place, that something outside of us is controlling our lives and we'd better obey it or it's going to do bad things to us. Long before Judaism, long before Christianity, long before any of that, we know the old system of gods and goddesses were punitive, or if we pleased them, they would do good things for us. We would have healthy lives. We would have healthy children, families, all those kinds of things. It was part of our belief system about survival. So does the moon, the full moon, really have that much of an effect on us? And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but the answer is no. Empirical science over many, 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 many years have studied this. The data debunks pretty much every myth we have. And I know so many out there are like, no, there's ritual and there's story and there's tradition and there's all these things that we honor and have ceremony about. And that is all part of our human experience. That is a part of us that connects us. We can look up in the sky and say, yes, there is that thing. And the science says, not really. Blinded me with science. Sorry. If you are familiar with that song, she blinded me with science. The truth is, there is some truth to it. And the old thinking was that as more, before we had the development of outdoor-indoor lighting, where we kind of messed with our own circadian rhythms by having electricity and having lights that we could turn off at our disposal. When we were outside, it was effective to us. The theory being that during those periods of the full moon, and there's so much light in the sky, it disrupts our sleep cycle. And if you're anything like me, if you don't sleep well, you get all nuts. I get kind of nuts when I do it. So there is a little bit of truth to that part of it, okay? But when we think about the myth and the story and the ritual and the ceremony, I mean, it's ancient, as I said. It's an ancient thing that has been passed along and passed along and passed along that connects us to our ancestors. One of the studies that was done about that was real interesting back in the 80s, that there was about a five-year study, a lengthy study that talked to psychiatric nurses about, you know, do emergency rooms fill up? Do the psych wards become more, the people in the psych wards become more agitated during a full moon? And what was interesting was not that that's what happened with a full moon. It was the psych nurses who believed that happened that made more notes about their patients having more odd behavior. And the psych nurses who didn't believe in the lunar effect didn't see any difference at all. So it brings us back to that reading this morning about our use of mind, our use of the law, and what we put into it. We think into it, we can unthink into it. And as many of you know in this practice, unthinking long-held patterns, patterns that were given to us long before we were ever born, undoing those is a lot of work, can be a lot of challenging work. And we can do it. It's tough to do it. We can default to a place and say, well, I can blame it on the moon. I was acting wacky today. But know that the science behind it isn't always true. I had an experience yesterday that, I'll just tell you what happened. I had an appointment yesterday to go down to San Marcos. For those of you who don't live in this area, it's about 20 minutes away from where we are. And I was doing my morning routine. I'm getting ready. I'm making my smoothie. I'm putting all the stuff together. And I have this big bag, probably about 3-pound bag of frozen organic blueberries that I put into my smoothie, not the whole bag. I was out of town for a couple months and up in Michigan. And I had the same routine with my smoothie that I have few days a week. And when I got up there, the frozen blueberries were like on steroids. I'm serious, these things were bigger than marbles. And so I'm kind of, you know, my perspective is, cool, I got these great big blueberries, I only need like three to put into the smoothie before the whole thing turns purple. So I get this bag open yesterday, I get the blueberries into the Vitamix, and I'm going about my business, and I'm looking at the clock, and I got great time, yep, I'm going to make that, going to drink it in the car. And I seal up the top of the thing, and I put it into the freezer, and as soon as I set it down, the top of the bag opens, and the whole thing opens up in the freezer. Now, we're going to talk about major appliances, shifting gears. Didn't think you were going to get that in the talk today, did you? But if you have one of those refrigerators that has the pull-out freezer drawer on the bottom, or if you're thinking about doing it, don't. And here's why. Because the drawer is not actually a drawer. It's a basket thing with a solid plastic bottom, but the rest of it is open, so all that cool air can get around your food and freeze it. Which is not good news for these little pea-sized, BB-sized blueberries that are now all over the hole underneath of the freezer. So I'm looking at this thing, and I know you know how blueberries, they stain your hands, right? And so I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, I got to scoop these up, and I've got to get these in. And in the meantime, they're so tiny, the ones on the floor start to melt pretty quickly. And before I know it, I'm looking at this thing, and it looks like a murder scene, okay? Because this, like, deep red purple is, and everywhere one of those little tiny things hit, there's a little spot. And they're literally thousands, if not hundreds, I'd say hundreds of thousands. It was a 3-pound bag. Thousands of little blue moons all over the floor and inside the freezer. So I get this basket thing off, and of course, taking it out, those all fall over the floor. And when you get this thing out, then underneath where the shelf lives, where the basket lives, there's a whole bunch of other ones. And the only person who can actually get in there without taking the entire drawer off the freezer is probably a toddler with really long arms that could get in there and get all of those things out of there, right? So I'm going about my business, and the next thing I know, I'm cleaning up all these blueberries, and the paper towels are this, you know, deep purple, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to stain the rags. And I look at my hands, of course, and it looks like I'm moving into the next severe level of hypothermia because I'm purple from top to bottom. In honor, I'm wearing the purple today. So I finally get all of these blueberries up, and in my mind, I'm going through my whole, you know, it's like my whole day has been offset, and you know, and what's interesting is that my wife Cynthia, she was on a very important conference call, and she heard me cuss when the bag opened. And that was the last of it, and I knew I wasn't going to bother. And you know, so she doesn't have any idea that this actually happened yesterday. So I get everything cleaned up, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm looking at the white baseboards; those are going to get stained. I'm looking at the white walls, and the, you know, and every little bit. Oh, now I got to pull the refrigerator out because there's stuff that's gotten under there because they're so tiny, and you know, all this is going on. And I'm finally to the point, okay, I'm getting my smoothie done. I'm going to have to drink it in the car. I'm on my way. I, you know, got like 2 minutes to get done here. And I'm standing at the sink washing my hands. And in my mind, I'm saying, God, you know, what? I've become practiced enough at asking, what is it I'm supposed to be doing here? Instead of saying, oh, my life is ruined. This happened to me. And all of a sudden, I hear this little voice saying to me, Blue Moon, you were asking me, you were saying a prayer for. And I had been saying a prayer for an uplifting, lighthearted story to bring to my talk today. And I laughed. I had to laugh. My mindset went to, you know, like, cuss, take care of the issue, ask the next question. Change, as the reading said today, as the prayer said today, unthink the thought. Unthink the thought that I don't want to experience, that I don't want to bring into the experience. One of the funniest parts, this tells you how much of a geek I am. When I'd gotten all the berries up and I'm thinking, how am I going to, you know, get this stuff off the floor so it doesn't stain and that kind of stuff, and I go get, you know, this probably very toxic over the, you know, over the counter household cleaner, non-prescription household cleaner. And this beautiful deep red purple color, when I sprayed it on it, did not turn to gold, like the song says. It turned to this really beautiful denim blue. And I'm such a geek, and I'm standing there spraying it, going, wow, that's really cool. Oh, I have to go. I have to finish cleaning up my mess so I can go. So our perspective, this whole idea about thinking that the moon or something external to us is causing our behavior, I'm inviting you to revisit that. and instead just maybe sit back and enjoy the silvery reflection with the silvery shoes. I love that from Aida. So the tipping, toeing on the little silvery shoes. We have free will for a reason. We have, it's built into us. Choice is built into us so that we can discover the delight in nature. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, Religious Science, the very first page of the Science of Mind text, when you open it up and it says, I'm paraphrasing, I believe in the day, I know the day will come where science and religion will walk hand in hand. And we're there. We are so much more there than we were even 50 or 100 years or 200 or centuries ago. We know this. Science would not exist without God. God created these incredible, powerful machines that we have that we call our mind, not just our brains, but the mind, the consciousness of actively using our intelligence, building wisdom through experience, while also remaining open to the mystery. And when I talk about there not being scientific evidence that the moon affects us, please understand it's not that I am shutting out any of that, because I absolutely adore looking at a full moon, looking at any phase of the moon when I have the opportunity to walk outside and breathe and get still and look up into the night sky. It's all about our perspective. We can see the moon as frightening, terrifying, thinking of werewolves and vampires and all of the many, many, many stories. Fun, lots of fun stories about them. Sometimes we love to be scared because there's a part of us that says, I don't actually believe that's true. And yet, there are things when we feel are out of our control, that we want to say something external is doing this to me. I'm having bad luck because it was this phase of the moon. I'm having good luck because it was this phase of the moon. It works in both directions. We are talking about an immutable law that we work with and have the opportunity to work with every single moment. So I invite you to maybe, as you're gazing at now waning moon, as we come into the new moon and back into a full moon at the end of this month, to just ponder this month. When Aida came in this morning, she said, this is a really interesting topic that I had to put together a prayer for. And she did perfectly, absolutely. Because we have access in every moment to that infinite intelligence, that infinite wisdom, that infinite supply of ideas. Keep the rituals. I am not by any stretch of the imagination asking anybody to stop doing moon dances or whatever, just gazing, just celebrating, being romantic, being mindful, being quiet. Not at all. And here's the part of the talk that I love that Aida got right away. And it was one of the most beautiful ways that I've heard expressed that our relationship with spirit. God is the sun. We are the moon. We are the reflection of that. We are made of the same stuff. Carbon-based life forms, whatever you want to call them in this universe, we are made of the same stuff as the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and everything that we experience day in and day out. We are made of the same stuff. So we have the opportunity to be that reflection. We are the reflection. We are, as we've heard through scripture and through stories and through myth and through all of the cultures of the stories of the cosmos, that we are made in that image. We are here to express that image. We are here to reflect that light of spirit. We can call it the divine spark. We can call it the inner light, our higher self, the light of love. Whatever name we give it, it is that energy. That energy that we radiate. Whatever direction we radiate it in. Meaning, you know when you're in a group of people that are going into fear. You know you're in a group of people when they're going towards love. That shift, that gravitational pull of energy is very contagious one way or the other. And if you don't like the direction you're going, you can change it. You can unthink the thought that is pulling you in a direction you don't care to go. And it may mean you are standing alone sometimes. Blue moon, you saw me standing alone. But keeping a firm prayer in place. To have that love, to have that supply, to have that freedom, that joy, that abundance. To have a 3-pound bag of blueberries explode in your freezer and not have it ruin your day. Enjoy the moon. I do certainly enjoy the moon. And I see your light, my light, all of our lights reflected in that every time I look up. I see love. I see wonder. I see mystery. Science is never going to figure it all out. I'm not, and nor should we. But hand in hand with our spirituality and with our energy of love, we get more and more and more to discover and uncover and share and grow and evolve with. That's the gift. I personally think it would be pretty darn boring if we had figured it all out. There'd be nothing left for us to do. There would be no reason for us to be here. We learn, we grow, we teach, we share, we move on to the next dimension, if that is your belief. We have both. I think we need both. And I know that each of us is that light, that reflection, that whole package. 3 pounds, just make sure you zip the top. Okay. So let's take this into meditation with Katie. So I invite you to take a deep breath and ground yourself and revisit the image from the earlier prayer, the image of that full moon, that soft light, that light that we can gaze upon without blinding ourselves. So hold that image in your mind, that soft glow. And maybe reflected on the water, maybe going through branches of a tree. Maybe just sitting as a beautiful silvery orb over a meadow with nothing obstructing the view. And breathe into knowing that we look at the same moon, that humankind, that life has been looking at since the beginning. And breathe into the magnitude of that and recognize that your ancestors, my ancestors, for thousands, tens of thousands of years, have wondered and pondered and worshiped and been fearful of all rolled into this moment right here and right now. We are alive and we are awake and we are aware that there is that thing outside of us. Our focus right now on this orb that has its own orbit, not is something that is controlling us, but as something that gives us a point of focus to remember the expansive nature of the universe, the infinite nature of God, and as a beautiful silvery point of light that we can always turn to. Even during a new moon, we know and we trust that it is always there. Just like Spirit, just like God is always there for us to turn to. With any question, anything that feels like a challenge, anything that feels like a fear, that we might not be able to identify right off the bat. We can simply breathe into that light, breathe into that idea that there is a constancy. And it will ebb and flow, and it will wax and wane, and our understanding will come and go. But we can also relax into and trust that the new cycle will come around again. This too shall pass, and we will pass this way again. Different, changed, more evolved, more grounded. And so knowing that this presence and this power is that constant in our lives, that place we can firmly plant our faith and our trust. I affirm for each of us the willingness to open to that trust, the willingness to stand firmly with a focus on one thing and one thing only, and that is the love, the light of God that is always present for us, no matter what is going on around us. We can take the moment and look up, even in broad daylight. We can close our eyes and imagine gazing upon the moon. That hangs in a, it's a miraculous way. That something put it into an orbit that it stays in and has stayed in for eons. That in that moment we can, I affirm we can remember that we are awake and alive and here right now to be a part of that orbit. And that our light is being revealed in every moment when we step forth in faith. There is that peace that comes from saying, I am. I am peace. I am a part of the heavens above. I am the earth below. I am God expressing. Have access to that. Simply by breathing and saying, I am. So I'm going to ask you to hold that I am thought, and we will affirm it. Sing along if you like.
Soul.